Production. Recorded live.
You're listening to Freedom Fighters for America World Radio at www.freedomfightersforamerica.com. Coming up next, a very special show with federal whistleblower Stu Webb. He's got an interesting tape he wants to play for us all tonight, and I'm sure it's going to rock the country and definitely upset the interior individuals who are partly responsible for the crimes against the United States of America. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be starting the show momentarily. Freedom Fighters for America World Radio is sponsored by Freedom Fighters for America. This is a Take Back America series, and today's date is 4/12/2012. Thank you all for tuning in tonight, and I'm going to put Stu Webb, federal whistleblower, on the phone. I want you all to listen to what he has to say tonight. It's very critical information. Stu, welcome to the show. Always a pleasure.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you first for having me. It's always an honor to be on with you.
Thank you very much.
One of the few in the country that are freedom fighters.
Absolutely. You are certainly one of them, sir. And tonight's show and information that you are providing for us tonight is critical to the national security of the United States of America. And hopefully we'll hear some other subsequent interviews that you have. Can you give us a brief rundown of what we're going to listen to tonight?
Well, Chris, you know, for the edification listeners, many of them know me. Those that don't, just go to www.stewebb.com, look at the front page, scroll down, plenty of information about me on there, go down the latter part of the page, it tells my story, how I married in the Bush Crime Syndicate, how they took my kid from me. I've caused four congressional investigations with a special independent prosecutor on HUD, Arlene Adams. I've revealed a lot of things, Chris, over the years. I'm breathing after 28 years, still alive. You know, I talked to a whistleblower that wrote a book that's kind of been out of the scene for a number of years now, and he says, Stu, he says, there's only three of us still living. I said, yeah, that's true. One is myself, another is Rodney Stitch, and the third was himself. And I don't want to mention name on the phone. But, you know, it's probably true because of the ones that have done the damage they've killed, okay?
Right.
And what I'm trying to do and have been doing, Chris, is, you know, on my breaking news page, if a person scrolls down on my front page, stewebb.com, goes breaking news, and I'm going to rearrange my website soon, bring it more up to date. But if they scroll down to breaking news a foot down, they'll see according to date and get the latest news. Mm-hmm. We tried to put out, Tom Hennigan and I and others tried to put out, you know, about the financial frauds consistently to let people know what they're doing. I've released the information pertaining to in the recent month and a half that I've been sitting on since 2007 of who the bank bailout scamsters were, because I helped get them to the point that we had them go into bankruptcy court and they didn't go. Larry Mizell, Leonard Bellman, and so forth.
I don't want to interrupt you here, but for time's sake and for, you know, the I don't want the show to be interrupted tonight due to the critical information you're about to.
Okay, what I'm getting ready
on the air here.
What I'm getting ready to reveal, and as I have on the bank bailout names that's on my breaking news site, I've been revealing the information pertaining to a grand jury demand that I made in 1993 and then again subsequently in 1995. It's up on my website with the stamp date on it and so forth. I've tried to push that grand jury. I've got a federal judge in Denver never dismissed the grand jury. It's never been heard, so therefore it never can be dismissed until it's heard. I tried to transfer it to Kansas City, nearly got killed over the whole nine yards. All of this is going to be after the show. It's going to be on the link on the breaking news page where people can grab those links. It'll also be up on the Stu Webb One channel on YouTube also mm-hmm. on your site, etc.
I'm putting it up right now. I'm going to put it on for any of the people who are on the chat to see. It will be put on here momentarily. So.
Okay, those are the grand jury demands. Now, I subsequently filed a lawsuit, and they tried to kill me over it, and I had to back off and not even service the people over it because they tried to kill me again in 1997. Now, this conversation you're about ready to listen to is one of several conversations with the FBI in Denver, and this is how it revolved before you hear this conversation. It revolved from the grand jury filing where I was ordered by Judge Richard Mache, who was appointed as the judge on the case. They actually killed his daughter earlier on. I didn't know that. Later I found out they had killed her over exposing the illegal political campaign money laundering. He was assigned the case, and they needed to get rid of the case, so they put him in mourning and reassigned the case to a Judge Sherman Feinsilver, obstructor in Denver. They killed his daughter. But the deal is, Judge Richard Mache told me to go see a judge in Wyoming, Brenner. I did it. Brenner, I sat in a grand jury room, no grand jurors, making the determination whether I should be able to appear for a grand jury. He says, of course. He filed a report. That report was sent back down to Judge Richard Mache, who told me on the phone, I have those recorded conversations I may release at some point also. Told me he tried to work with the U.S. attorney, a new guy named Henry Solano. Al Martin and I initiated the phone call with Solano. I have those tapes as well. I have tapes of all these conversations over the years I've had with federal agents, with congressmen and senators, with judges, with prosecutors, reporting crimes, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And under 18 U.S.C. 4, the Federal Reporting Crime Act, if they don't act upon the information I give them, then they've committed a felony. They've committed a felony. So tonight we're going to hear about an FBI agent committing a felony. Now, this is about this grand jury demand.
Well, let's talk about the subject. This is about the Gulf War syndrome and the soldiers coming back sick and what the actual real problem that went on in Iraq. And, you know, this is do you want to give the names of the people who are on this tape?
Yes. Now, you're going to hear in this, there's four people that three other spooks stepped forward with me. One was Al Martin, almartinraw.com, and the U.S. attorney, I want to say this, the U.S. attorney immediately started obstructing justice. We knew it was going to happen, something was going to happen, and it happened. And, oh, Stu, give it your best shot. Okay, well, how about Boulder Properties Limited? Blackmail congressmen, senators. If you go to breaking news site, scroll down, look on the left column for Inside the Bush Crime Family Part 2. The story was told after that. Now, Al Martin and I had the evidence because Al Martin was involved in blackmailing U.S. congressmen, senators with the group out of Arkansas, Hillary Clinton, and a whole cast of characters down there. It's in the story. Al Martin even wrote about it. Now, there's a second guy, and we're going to play that conversation at a later point, Chris. We're going to do a show on it.
Yeah.
Now, another one is the conversation here where we're reporting Peter Kowalja, who was an NSA investigator, finding criminal activity in the United States and terrorist activity in the United States on behalf of the United States government, of where he found it. He found my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman, and his Boca Raton, Florida, warehouse at the airport, Boca Raton Airport, which Jeb Bush ships guns and drugs and everything with Ollie North still to this day out of that warehouse. That was the property owners on that warehouse was L. Millman, as in Leonard Millman, my former father-in-law of Denver, and N. Bush, as in Neil Bush, who worked for my former father-in-law at Silverado Savings, of which his company, MDC Holdings, traded on the New York Stock Exchange. MDC is the symbol. They were the ones that owned Silverado Savings, the CIA illegal bank, and paying all the drug dealers and everything else. Now, here's where it ties. They told me, the U.S. attorney, told me that I need to start working with the FBI. They're going to assign an agent to me. Okay, this was all they were there was to extract, see what I knew. So one of the things, besides Al Martin, who came forward, I mentioned someone else in here, Peter Kowalja, of course. You're going to hear the conversation where we contacted the FBI. This agent had called me, and then I hooked up Peter on the phone. And this was in 1995, and this was about Milman's role in Gulf War Center. Besides having the warehouse, they were building this, making part of it at Fruta, Colorado on the western slope, contaminating the Colorado River, which has caused red tide in 1995 to show up with deformed fish in Lake Mead there at the Hoover Dam in Las Vegas, Nevada, and also Lake Powell in Utah. And it sits about 300 yards off the Colorado River, this Fruta, Colorado, Sam Gary refinery, where they make these biological chemical agents part of it. It's shipped now to the Air Force Base in Aurora, right next to it on private land, underground bunker, and they're sending it out still to today. It's still all illegal, involved Barbuti, a terrorist out of Boca Raton, Florida, mixing it up. He's a coffee merchant in Aqabar, Jordan today. These are the biological chemical agents that were sold to Iraq, also known as these scandals. Every time it keeps coming back up, it changes names. First, it was known as the Iraqgate scandal, broken the Miami Herald back in 1990 and 91. Then it became the BNL Bank scandal, which Hillary Clinton was on the board of directors of BNL Bank. Then it became Gulf War syndrome after our vets returned from the Gulf War and were contaminated from the Scud missiles that kept exploding in the air, raining biological chemical agents down on them. But there was more to this. And in this conversation being reported to the FBI that's never been released, this conversation, this explains it all. Now, the party involved, Peter Qualgia, was an NSA investigator. He was doing this for the government to stop terrorist activity. If you listen, you will hear about the Boca Raton connection and the Leonard Milman ownership and other corporations who were done. Daddy Bush was all involved in this, and you can hear how they did it and how U.S. Customs agents, FBI agents, and everyone are all in on the take and committed treason and sedition, selling biological chemical agents to a foreign enemy, declared foreign enemy at the time, or any other state without U.S. government permission is in violation of the Barclay-Cohen Denture Act, which is considered to be treason, and the penalty is the death penalty. So to you, Mark Holtzlaw, and all you slime balls inside the FBI, and I say this because this is the same clown that is running the anti-terrorist task force group, was out of Denver. I hear he's been promoted to Washington. He is the same one who's had tried to attempted murder on me on several occasions, including anthrax. Shortly after this conversation, I was anthraxed in a jail cell, falsely arrested in Adams County, Colorado, where two guards died within 6 months from the exposure to that anthrax. I survived because I found out I was attacked. So here's the conversation. Now, this is for all those out there over the years that work for the FBI to say, oh, and run around the internet trying to demonize and slander Stu Webb, including the old Ted Gunderson crowd that was always covering up for the Mark Holtzlaw crowd. Here's Mark Holtzlaw. Here's a reporting to the FBI. This is 18 U.S.C. 4, the Federal Reporting Crime Act. There's no place to take it, folks. So you get it, and you can take it where you want. Hopefully you'll spread this. This conversation was in 1995 with Mark Holtzlaw, who is now a senior special agent in charge of the FBI, and Peter Qualgia regarding Gulf War Syndrome, also known as Iraqgate, also known as the BNL Bank Scandal. Each time it came back up, it re-resurrected as a separate name. Leonard Milman of Denver, Colorado, was involved in the sale of the biological chemical agents along with Jeb Bush, Neil Bush, at Milman and Neil's warehouse in Boca Raton, Florida. Barbuti, a coffee merchant out of Aqabar, Jordan, was mixing the stuff up. Part of it was made in Fruta, Colorado at the Sam Gary refinery. This had what was known as the cherry juice, a commodity exchange with Iraq for oil. The oil payments were made illegally through BNL Bank, which Hillary Clinton was on the board of directors under treason sedition on StuWeb.com. On the front page and also top of the news page details the report that I had done on this. But these are conversations with FBI agent Mark Holslaw, who is targeting me and has been since these requests for the grand jury and stirring up with my filing 95Y107 in 1995, and then being told by Judge Richard Mates to go see Judge Brenner in Wyoming because of my allegations regarding other judges being corrupt, who that judge said my case should be heard and that my grand jury should be formed, Judge Brenner of Wyoming. And Judge Richard Mates, as you, if you have not heard part of the conversations, I haven't played them all, but part of them are on this website as well, and also the conversation with Henry Solano. Later on, Henry Solano, I might add, in another conversation I have, said, give it your best shot. We're going to pick one subject. I said, okay, start with Boulder Properties, the blackmail congressmen and senators, and then we'll go from there. Shortly after that, I was anthrax. This conversation's regarding Peter Gwalja, it's self-explanatory. This was in 1995 also. So it, not only did Peter reach out, myself, Al Martin, Robert Joseph, all of us were in danger. That's four of 150 people that I, Stu Webb, could present before a federal grand jury, and I'm releasing these tapes. It's March 2012.
So what I would like for you to do is give a quick education tomorrow.
Okay. Go ahead. Don't mind me laughing. Go ahead. It's not a funny matter. Go ahead. What is your name?
My name?
Yeah.
Peter Gwalja, spelled K-A-W-A-J-A. And could you hold a minute to share it? I'll be right back.
Security agency.
Why the National Security Agency?
Because it Security of the United States. It started back in 88. I reported this in 89. In 1990, I was served a search warrant under the International Emergency Economic War Powers Act. And I don't mind sending you a written literature. Don't forget, talking to you on the phone and giving you any type of personal information, I wouldn't do, but I would be more than happy to mail you, if you give me an address to mail you stuff, things that will let you know, A, who I am, B, what is this really all about. I'm not A through Z, but enough to get you up to speed to understand that there actually exists a War Powers Act search warrant, that my evidence was sealed as national security, still remains so today, that I operated for the U.S. government under a code name, and that the case I'm involved in has to do with national security and with chemical and biological warfare agents.
Do you, do you know or have you worked with Al Martin?
No, I don't. No, I have heard of him, but I don't work with Al Martin.
Okay.
I hear Al Martin talks about only chemicals, and a lot of people want to steer this in the direction that this is a chemical-related problem with the Gulf War veterans, and it is not so. You know, it's anything that's transmissible has nothing to do with chemical agents, although they are involved.
I'm telling basically a scenario. Shit gets shipped through Boca Raton Airport, National Gulfstream Aviation Warehouses owned by Milliman. JetBlue ships it.
Well, you know, I made recordings of all kinds of people, not only Iraqis, but FBI, CIA, FBI counterintelligence, U.S. Customs, politicians, all of those types of things exist. So I can give you, like, the numbers of the case and stuff. I could send you literature that you could go check this, but you're just going to be stopped. So unless you and a bunch of other FBI agents decide that you are going to go against the system and you're going to risk, you know, your career, because that's what it'll have to be, you know, then all we're talking about is nothing. I've lived through this, and my wife died as a result. So, in other words, I'm no disrespect again. Do not take it personally.
No, I understand.
I don't think you're going to get anywhere. It's real simple.
See,
I don't rely on the FBI.
If you would like to send me some information, let me give you an address.
Yep, I'll do that.
Okay. Denver FBI.
Okay.
1961.
Mm-hmm.
Stout, you spell it Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Street.
Okay.
Suite 1823.
Mm-hmm.
Denver. And the zip is 80294.
And the attention?
Special Agent Mark. And you spell it HOLST.
H-O-L-S-T.
L-A-W.
L-A-W.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. See, I have names of FBI agents on the payroll of terrorists. Guys out in Texas who works for Customs also operate from a line authority of the CIA. Guys like Jack Bigler and Martin Schramm. And I could go on and on and on, but it serves no purpose at this time to give you anything. You know, the FBI knows who the fuck I am, and they're listening to this conversation now, so they can kiss my ass. And I sent a certified letter to Louis Freeh, because after an hour I got off of a phone call with somebody. You know, the aircraft was threatened to be blown up with me on it. Now, I sent a certified letter, and I have no problem. If you want me to fax it to you, I'll fax it to you, and you'll see the postal certified number on there. I sent it to Louis Freeh, and I faxed it to Louis Freeh. So Louis Freeh knows who I am. Janet Reno knows who I am. And, you know, to be very frank, you know, you need to make a decision whether or not you're going to place everything on the line if you're going to follow this. If not, then don't spin my wheels. And I'm sorry to be, you know, talking like that, but that is the only way. This is hardball, and you're playing with the big boys. This is not about a couple of druggies, and this is not about, you know, 5-10 people.
Well, I would be willing to take a look at what you have.
Sounds good.
If you're willing to send it, I'm willing to take the time to take.
Well, I'm willing to send you some preliminary material. Sure.
Peter Mark's one of the few that I can say that are FBI that isn't a shithead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Stu, you know what it is? He probably is one. Like, I know that there are good CIA agents who've sent me inside information. Like, I cannot state whether or not I really have tape recordings of George Bush or not. I mean, you know that I don't have any of that. The whole point is this, that
there are good FBI agents. There really are. I don't think that everybody out there is a devil and a terrorist, and not all of them are, and New World Order. The whole point is that the guys who are the good guys are put on assignments so they either don't see what's going on, or peer pressure, if you want to use that word, prohibits them from getting involved. So, again, it's not personal against him, but, you know, unless you had a clandestine meeting with someone and they are going to bust this open, it's useless for him, even though individually he's a good person and a good FBI agent. He will not get anywhere because he's answerable to Louis Frey.
I know, but Mark, one of the things you know about a future suit that's possibly going to go, okay?
Okay.
It's still in the making. And Peter, for the only edification is, I demanded a grand jury. Judge Mates in Denver says, U.S. attorney, do your job. Al Martin was one of the ones that presented to the U.S. attorney the evidence pertaining to Boulder Properties and the blackmail of certain congressmen and senators, including Bill Alexander. And then he had a phone call. We have a witness at Justice. A phone call was made by Janet Reno and told U.S. Attorney Henry Solano to back off if he wanted to keep his government job. He backed off. There's going to be a suit filed, a RICO suit against Bush and Company. It's in the making. It's being finalized. When that happens, that means somebody within the FBI is going to have to be assigned to this. We're recommended that Mark be assigned to it. Okay?
Okay.
So I want Mark familiar with certain things.
And I don't mean to sound, you know, and again, for you too, Stu, you know, I don't want to burn off some guy that you got, you know, who's a buddy and that you trust, and there's nothing wrong in that, man. I'm just like...
I understand.
You understand?
Give him a quick scenario of the numbers of people who have died and are dying worldwide as a result of this illegal weapons shipped by Bush and profiteered.
Well, we killed, what the United States does not acknowledge is that we killed 500,000 Iraqis. A quarter more million have died as a result of it, and a million more are sick and dying. That's just in Iraq. You have the Egyptian armies, the French, the British, all of those, the military around the world have come seeking help to the doctors over here who are working on the mycoplasma. So in the United States now, they have let go from the armed services almost 500,000 of the troops that served in the Gulf theater since the Gulf War. So 500,000 out of the initial 700,000 have been discharged and turned up at the VA. Documented that the DOD will acknowledge is somewhere now around 9,000 dead only on American soil from that. That does not include the family members, it doesn't include the children, and it doesn't include civilians. No one is tracking that, but you're hearing about the dengue fever, you're hearing about the strep, the flesh-eating disease, the staph, the TB, the meningitis that are outbreaks all over, people are calling me. All of these diseases, if you start tracking them, and you have access to that, if you really want to check this stuff out on your computer system, you will see that all of these outbreaks started, I'd say from 1991 forward, after the Gulf War. All of these are a result of the breakdown of the immune system and because of the biologicals that are being carried by the servicemen and on the vehicles and in the clothing and gas masks that they brought back. People are calling me who their entire families are in wheelchair, civilians who went to like an Army-Navy surplus store and bought some of the fatigues or, you know, used military equipment that came back from the Gulf, and these people were not in the war, and their entire family is, you know, wheelchair-bound and dying. So documentation, there's tons of it that exists. I mean, if you read the Regal Report 1993 and 1994, you'll understand, and I'll send you a video if you're interested that shows you all of the biologicals that are known, not the other stuff that is not known, but what's been uncovered that was actually shipped to Saddam Hussein. But it goes deeper than that. It goes into... unknown things. The things I'm talking about is not that we shipped the stuff to Saddam Hussein, knowing what he was going to use and then developing vaccines for it. It's the other shit I'm concerned about that we didn't ship him, that we used ourselves, and it has to do with some of the vaccines we gave our own troops and the anthrax vaccines. And so it gets lots more sinister and lots more involved. But what you have now is outbreaks on a nationwide basis and on a worldwide basis. You know, now all of this is backed up. You know, if you say, well, that's a big story. Well, hell, of course it's a big story. But you're not gonna uncover this or understand it in a 30-minute phone call. You know, if you decide you want to talk to me in person, I have no problem sitting down in front of you and taking it step by step. It's very lengthy, very involved. Okay, but, you know, you have a commitment on your part that, you know, you're going to do something about it. If not, what are we doing? Jabber John.
Well, let me take a look at what you did.
Yeah.
And
okay.
If, in the packet, you could put a way for me to recontact you.
Sure.
Maybe a phone number and an address, whatever.
Yep.
And I'll take a look at it, and we'll see what we got.
Okay. No problem.
Peter, you got a public number you can give him, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I got a number I can give him right now.
Okay.
You know, let me get my pen out here.
Okay.
Might as well. If I got to send my flight itinerary to the FBI, I might as well give him my public number.
They've been threatening and blowing up airplanes where Peter's flying on.
Who, the FBI has?
Well, I don't say the FBI. I say U.S. intelligence. Let's give it a heading at the top. You know, who has wiretap on my phone? I've asked that of the FBI. Who has an illegal wiretap on my phone? Okay, so, anyway, my phone number is 407-241-8407.
241-8407. 407,
where is that?
That's Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I could give you all kinds of interesting information, like when you start checking out who Century Arms International and why the fuck are they occupying a building that was a warfare weapons plant in Boca Raton, Florida. Why are there missiles, you know, illegal warfare weapons, they're not handguns, you know, in Boca Raton. You know, you want to do something about it, get some agents here. Now, don't call Tim McCants, FBI agent of Miami. You know, don't follow it up with James McAdams, who covered up the BNL, and all the list of names of the guys who are on the payroll, you know, who already know what's going on, and they're not going to do anything.
Tim McCant, he's an FBI agent?
Yes, Tim McCant is out of Miami. He's FBI.
McCants,
with an S at the end.
Bad guy.
He's out of Miami?
Yeah, out of Miami.
And he knows about this?
Oh, yeah, he knows about this. Yeah, scumbag wouldn't investigate when they try to blow up my car. You know, I have police reports. All the things I'm talking to you about, I have a lawsuit against federal agents and agents of FinCEN and U.S. attorneys, and they're trying to get it dismissed based on one thing, immunity. That's it, immunity. You know, even if they committed misconduct, they should have immunity. And so my case should be thrown out of court because they have immunity. Meanwhile, the affidavit for search that they sealed under the War Powers Act shows that they knew, they sealed this in 1990 prior to any serviceman getting killed, and they have all kinds of documentation. They brought forward their informants. The government, the federal agents put down all this credible, and I agree with it. See, I agree with everything they said in there, because all the evidence they put down so that they could have this big search warrant against me to come take my evidence, I agree with, except that why wasn't anybody prosecuted? If there are terrorists in the United States and Louis Freeh says we want to stop terrorism, how come we didn't go after the terrorists? You know, why is it that they got a War Powers Act search warrant, came and took my evidence that they felt was so good that they were going to prosecute people and then seal it as national security for 5 fucking years? So you ask yourself that question, okay? So that's what you're looking at. Okay, so there's somebody at the top that, you know, now Louis Freeh, you know, is he a good guy or could he be an okay guy and could other agents in the FBI do their job if their hands weren't tied? Probably so. But that's you know, again, you know the chain. You know you're not going to be able to, like, investigate this under normal conditions. So you can't go to Janet Reno because Janet Reno covered it up. Janet Reno hired John Hogan, who wrote the BNL Task Force report. John Hogan is from Miami. Janet Reno is from Miami. Okay, John Hogan worked for IBI, the terrorist, Ishan Barbudi International, builder of Pharma 150, chemical and biological weapons complex at Rabta, Libya.
Died twice on Interpol records, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could send you secret military documents, showing that the United States knew who Barbudi was, and the DOD, they got all kinds of information showing him, and the sealed affidavit that they sealed says that he was supplying Iraq with military weapons, and that he had established chemical warfare production capability at a PIT plant in Boca Raton, Florida. Now, if the United States government and George Bush knew this in 1990, let's say in March of 1990, how come we went to war with Iraq and we got all these unexplained illnesses going around, but meanwhile the DOD and the VA says there's nothing going on and people are dropping like flies? Okay? So, I mean, you know, it's just one vicious circle.
The connection that gives you authority there, Mark, is the National Gulfstream Aviation, the Boca Raton Airport warehouses, Leonard Nelman.
And they're still shipping stuff out, and I got video. Oh, I'm sorry, I slipped, Freudian slip. I don't have video. I used to have video. Even in 1995, they got warheads in a plant in a residential, basically, office. They have an office strip in there, but it's a basic residential area. They built this 40,000-square-foot facility, which is sealed up by brick, and they've excavated part of the ground, and they're trying to decontaminate it. And I'd like to know why the FBI has not been in there and done something about it. And I could send you a document from the EPA, and I will, showing that the EPA wrote to Senator Connie Mack and responded to my documents that they acknowledged that warfare-grade cyanide was dumped into the water supply of Boca Raton, yet the EPA says that it is not a matter, doesn't come under their jurisdiction. It comes under U.S. Customs, because U.S. Customs is handling the cover-up of the illegal shipment and transshipment of materials that some of them did not, the way they got around by shipping a lot of things was it originated from a foreign port, came here, U.S. Customs agents themselves offloaded some stuff, emptied certain containers, reloaded containers, federal agents reloaded stuff, and of course the bills of lading did not show then it was bound for Libya or any other foreign port that it was a no-no in the United States to ship to, because it was shipped originally from a foreign port. So that's how they used transshipments. Check into that. Now, I turned over documents to the FBI and documents to guys like Bigler when they were, I didn't realize that they were scumbags back in 89-90. So there's a lot, like I said, there's a whole
Bigler.
Jack Bigler is a U.S. special agent, U.S. Customs Service, out of Houston, Texas.
Scumbag.
Yeah, big-time scumbag. Big-time scumbag. Definite big-time. So, anyway, you got an earful, and yet you just got a tip of the iceberg. So I'll forward you some material here.
In other words, Mark, your wife, kids, you, or any of your associates can shake the hand of somebody who shook the hand of a Gulf War syndrome guy on the same day. Nobody washed their hands, and buddy, you're going to fucking die.
Thank you, Stu. I'm sorry to have not did. That is the real key. Let me say something here, Special Agent. I don't really mean, first the profanity. Please forgive me. I don't mean any disrespect to the FBI. You see, I was former law enforcement related. I have a 28-year security career. I trained a lot of special ops guys. I worked with the military. You're going to be able to find some of this as we go along about who I really am. I am not against the United States. I'm not against the U.S. government. I started out trying to protect America, and I have always worked with law enforcement. I got all kinds of commendations and all kinds of stuff to back up what I say. The point is this. What it really comes down to is you not busting somebody for a crime. That is important as it is. What Stu said is the real kicker here. What you have is, as a result of what happened in the Gulf War, you have a million troops that came back, and not all a million of them were carriers, but the percentage of them are, that are out there passing it on to their wives, their families, and to the civilian population. You have a transmissible disease, okay? It's a warfare agent, and it's transmissible by human contact, by perspiration, by contact. coughing. So if you do not want to pay attention to anything that I send you, pay attention to the part about the transmissibility. You'll never know. 2 years later, down the road, after you've come in contact with somebody at the grocery store or you went to a movie and somebody coughed in your direction, when you start feeling sick or your kids end up in a wheelchair and they get paralyzed or their heart explodes in their chest or they come down with the dengue fever or this meningitis or something and they die, just remember that Peter Khawaja and Stu Webb tried to tell you what this was about. That's all I got to say. And I thank Stu for bringing – that is the most important thing, is that it is out of control and it is coming. It is right now coming to you. It's coming to a theater near you. It's coming to your home. And that's what's got to concern you, the most important thing, other than trying to prosecute a guy like George Bush.
Well, have you made any attempts to pass this information on to the Center for Disease Control?
They are covering up what's going on. All of the outbreaks are being covered up.
You've made an attempt to pass this information on to them?
Yes.
Do you have documentation of that?
Yes.
Okay, I'd be interested in seeing that as well.
Okay, yep. Mark, there's another thing. Not only the people, tell him about the kids born so far, and tell him about the school closed.
That's called Golden Horn. If you look up in November this year, November of Life magazine, you'll see what Golden Horn. Golden Horn is a specific type of deformity of the 67%. Of the children born to Gulf War veterans are born deformed with what's called golden arm. And it is a deformity where they are born without arms or legs or an eye, a specific eye missing. And the person in charge of that particular experiment is Dr. Joshua Lederberg. And when you track down Joshua Lederberg, you will see that he sat on some of the corporations that developed and transferred the biologicals, and that he is a certain individual that was on the initial Gulf War Syndrome board to determine whether or not Gulf War Syndrome exists or not, so that the DOD could deny it. So you have multiple crimes. There were several tests that were conducted. That's called reverse engineering. If you understand the Human Genome Project that he's involved in, DHEA, go look at the rent the movie at your video shop at Blockbuster called Universal Soldier with Jean-Claude Van Damme. You'll understand what that is about. It is sort of like a lizard. If you cut your tail off, the lizard grows it back, or if you get shot, you can heal yourself. That's what they're looking for, is to develop the ultimate soldier. And the tests that were being developed here is the ability to grow limbs or grow parts of your body. So the Golden Heart is a reverse engineering of that thing.
Huh. 40 kids have been born deformed.
Well, that's just in the United Kingdom alone. Those aren't the statistics in the United States that we don't even know now. But Life magazine did something on that. So there are much of this information you'll find in bits or pieces in almost conventional media. But you see, because they tell a part of the story, it's like a big, gigantic puzzle, and you get like it's like somebody showing you a scenery of the sky, and one little piece of the puzzle is like part of a cloud. It's white. The part that you plug in is white. It doesn't mean shit to you on its own. It's so small and insignificant. You say, well, gee, that's sad that that's happening, and you look at the deformed babies and you go, wow, you know, and you really, you know, okay, so you put the magazine down. You don't get the picture because it's not significant in itself, although it should be. It's like looking at part of a cloud. Until you see the entire picture and know what this is really all about, that's when you'll get sick to your stomach if the deformed babies does not make you do that. But be careful for yourself, because in fact it is a transmissible disease, and it crosses species because it's been known to go from human to animal back to human. Okay, so we've got a very big problem. The CDC is covering it up. The DOD is covering it up. And, sir, if you've not read my document called The Saddest Chapter, you're going to understand the tie now, which is why I got a bomb threat on my aircraft and why I sent a certified letter to Louis Free, because there's a tie to the bombing of the Murrah building. The VA hard files on Gulf War illness were transferred to the Murrah building. Now, how is it that when I asked the FBI to come and talk to me, and I sent certified letters to Louis Free of the FBI, that they're chicken shit that they can't come out to me. What are they scared of? Oh, yeah, they'd like to kidnap my ass somewhere and or blow my plane up, but they... Well, I thought you said you talked to a Tim McCants. Tim McCants, that's a long time ago. Yeah, I talked to Tim McCants. Why?
Okay, but you're saying that nobody's made the attempt to...
No. Tim McCants didn't call me. See, you're only getting a part of the story here. Tim McCants is somebody that was involved back in 1990-91. Tim McCants is not currently involved. I didn't talk to Tim McCants this year.
Okay.
All right, so basically you wrote a letter to Louis Free
just recently.
Yeah.
Okay, requesting that you be interviewed and...
I wanted them to place an authorized... I offered the FBI... that if they would work it out with me, I would authorize them to place a legal wiretap on my phone line so that they could check where these calls are coming from, because in fact I do not believe any of these calls are coming from civilian people that are calling me. These are not prank phone calls. Nobody knows within 1 hour of a specific conversation that I have with someone on the phone that I am making travel plans, and subsequent to that phone call, within an hour, there's a specific type of a death threat. There is no PI or nobody who's stupid enough to put an illegal tap on my line. I live in a residential community. It's going to take some sort of federal authority, legal or illegal, or U.S. intelligence to do that.
Okay, so what you're saying is nobody from the FBI has taken the time to interview you.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. What
yes.
FBI office is nearest to your current residence?
I live in West Palm Beach, Florida. Or the county is, West Palm Beach would be the closest. Either Broward County or West Palm Beach, or Palm Beach County.
Broward,
B-R-O-W-A-R-D.
Or West Palm Beach?
Or Palm Beach County. The counties are Palm Beach, yeah. It's P-A-L-M, Palm Beach County or Broward County. But you see what you're going to run into. See, if you think you're going to call them and then have them come here, the FBI violated my civil rights, which I have brought up in my suit in 1990, because the FBI accompanied the... BSO, the Organized Crime Division that I trained, but the terrorist, counter-terrorist division of the sheriff's office came. Me, I found that out later, and Tim McCants let that also slip, and I've documented it. So Tim McCants fucked up, and I don't think Louis Free's going to be happy with this guy.
So you're saying that FBI agents showed up at your house?
Showed up at my office.
Identified themselves
as sheriffs. They came with the counter-terrorist division when I called them to try and get something done about the PID plan. I called Sheriff Nick Navarro, who at that time was the sheriff in Florida, and I had trusted him because a lot of the deputies I was friendly with and did training films for them in quick setup stakeout systems and a lot of other stuff. I supplied the DEA and FBI with a lot of the toys and the covert cameras and the slow scan compressed video transmission equipment and a lot of other stuff.
What sheriff's department did they identify themselves as being with?
That was Broward County. Broward County. Came in plain clothes, and of course I didn't think.
And later you found out that they
were. That was FBI counterintelligence. But what happened
is. How did you find that out?
Well, that's for me to know and for you to guess at this time.
Mark, we know that the FBI, based on what even Al has said and other people that were related to those C-Court operations, that C-Court constantly kept the FBI, certain top officials at Miami FBI office, informed of not only where this stuff was going, but also drug shipments and things pertaining to Jeb Bush, and where they would intentionally keep their agents and DEA agents intentionally away from those areas.
So if you've got rogue FBI agents that are going in there falsely identifying themselves as being associated with a sheriff's department when in fact they're not,
mm-hmm.
Executing illegal warrants or violating civil rights or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean that's important, but you gotta understand, I gotta know how you know for a fact.
Well, if you can do something, no you don't. You only need to know if you can do something about it.
Can you give me the names of these two agents or however many
agents?
Yeah. What were the?
And not only that. No. Right. I can't give it to you now. You know. See, I don't want to catch these sons of bitches under perjury. I want their ass under oath. That's what I want. See, because right now you can't do anything about this.
Well, you understand that, right?
Oh, I know you can't do anything.
Okay.
I don't see. Listen, I'm talking to you, A, because I'm frustrated, and I guess that's a good way to get me to talk a little, so I've opened up a little. But other than that, I have no hopes of you doing anything. You don't get it. You're up against the United States military. You're up against the Pentagon. You're up against the former president of the United States. You're up against the machine. So do I think you can do anything about it? No, not on your own. You know, you could join the fight, you know, maybe. But you're not going to be able to go through channels and do anything about this, you know. So I tried. Look,
I would be willing if you take the time to send me your information, I will take the time to at least read it.
Okay. I'll take the time to send you. I have your address.
Okay.
Okay, Stu. Thank you very much. Sir.
You too, Peter. I've got to. I'll be in touch with you.
I really appreciate
you. Can be around for a few more minutes.
Yeah, I will. And,
okay, I'll get Lou on.
Yeah, and Officer Hoflaw, in all seriousness, I really pray that there are guys like you out there, more of you, and that if there was any way, and I have offered in writing, and written to Louis Free, and I'll make you this offer. I'll say the same thing again. I tried to get it to believe in the system, and I went to the system. I risked my life for this country and tried to do the right thing, and instead the guys in authority came after me.
And they killed his wife.
Okay, so that's where I am right now. And understand my hostility, that I don't trust the FBI, because when you find out, you're going to find out FBI counterintelligence with night vision equipment, starlight equipment. You're going to find out the counterterrorist division of the FBI out in Texas having me and my men under surveillance. You're going to find the FBI all over this.
How were you able to identify them?
How? Because not only did they have equipment, I had equipment, and I bugged phones. I'll say that. You see, it's too late for them. If the FBI wants to prosecute me for wiretapping and recording federal agents, which got them pissed off, by the way, in April of 1990, because they fucking knew then that, because that's one of the statements they made. They said, "You mean you're tape recording federal agents?" Well, guess what? I fucking recorded them, okay? Because I got their ass on tape. Okay, enough for now. If you're serious, I'll feed you more. Thank you. Take care, sir. Bye.
Chris, are you there?
Yep, I heard it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it too. This is a report made to an FBI agent about a very serious matter. And this involves Gulf War Syndrome and the deaths of that literally thousands of people in Iraq and here in the United States of America, excuse me, millions of people. And these diseases are still carrying out in the United States today, the flesh-eating diseases and all the kind of strange occurrences that no one seems to be able to explain. And I think it explained it very well in this tape by Peter Kowalja and Stu Webb, who attempted to bring this information out to the FBI. Stu, what happened subsequently after this?
I got anthraxed within about a month and a half.
So they arrested you because of this information?
They arrested me illegally, saying I was trespassing at a Holiday Inn in North Denver, Colorado. Actually, I was arrested at a payphone across from the Holiday Inn and arrested the payphone. Calling my voicemail at the time. This was in 1995. I was hauled off to a jail cell in Adams County, Colorado, where I was put in a corpse cell for drunks, they call it. And I was put in there, and two guys come in. One of them was Mark Hoslaw, this slime ball, and one of his companions with a gas tank. And they administered this anthrax through an air vent that they had set up in the jail cell. Now, I had a guard. I was doing a radio show, ironically, in Colorado. 6 months later, a year later, after surviving this, was sick for 6 months. It took me 2 years to get it totally out of my system, taking doxycycline and all kinds of other stuff. And it kills your immune system is what it does. It changes your bile chemical makeup. I could never have children without them being deformed, Chris. But it's because I opened my mouth about this and about Milman's connection. And this was, of course, in 1995. And two guards ended up dead. I was doing a radio show, and this guard heard the radio show in Colorado, and they burned the radio station down, a Patriot station out there. It was nationwide. They burned the station down because of tapes with Peter Qualls and myself, Al Martin and others, Gene Chip Tatum, Larry Nichols, Terry Reed and others, all this connection to Arkansas and the others that were people, witnesses, to go before the grand jury. And they burned the radio station down and all the archives. Well, they didn't get all the good archives because I did make one or two shows with various ones that I had done over the years, especially with Tatum after doing 100 of them. And by the way, that tape's up on my Stu Webb website.
Tell the people where they can go to. You filed grand jury documents pertaining to this information. Tell the people again where they can go on your website to take a look.
Then go on the breaking news site. Just scroll, go to stuwebb.com. Scroll down about an inch. This is breaking news. Click on it, and it's in the left-hand column before you actually get to the news. I've got to put a couple columns up there, but it's in the left-hand side, and you can see the grand jury demands. You can see where they've tried to murder me 3 times in the past year, all of them car accidents. They're trying to make me look like, that I'm careless at driving. They either try to suicide you or look like a car accident. Most end up as a car accident. They've tried to whack me 3 times. The first one was the FBI. It's up on my internet site there. The second one was a private investigator working for old Ryan out of Overland Park and crashed me in the rear end. And the third one, each time I've received concussions and massive injuries, I nearly died in the first one. 5 vertebrae broken in my neck, nearly paralyzed. This all in the past year and a half. And the third one was Stevens of Stevens Truck Driving School, Amina. Arkansas drug hauler, still hauls drugs from Mena, Arkansas and Springfield, Missouri to Chicago, Illinois, St. Joseph, Missouri and Kansas City, one of the Bush boys, who actually had to testify in the Iran-Contra hearings that he was hauling drugs. He was the third one to hit me. This was all in this late October. They also burned a customer's house to the ground, $160,000 house I was working on, remodeling for them. They burned it down in Prairie Village, Kansas, in the middle of the night. That was the FBI slime balls and their hit team, which are Somalians, illegally in the United States with Yemen passports, Chris. And I have all this documented, all this evidence.
We're going to be talking about that on another show, and I'm sure we'll be listening to some more tapes that you've collected throughout the years exposing this crime and corruption.
But this was this particular tape everybody's just heard. This is reporting, Federal Reporting Crimes Act. If you have knowledge of a crime such as this and you don't report it to a federal authority, that means federal police like the FBI or to a court of law or to a district attorney, U.S. attorney, etc., you're in violation of the law. Now, I was trying to report it, trying to bring these men to justice. Filed the grand jury. I turned around and did file a suit against them, and they nearly killed me over filing that suit. And this has been the problem. And, as people have said, Stu, why aren't you using an attorney? Well, I can go back to an attorney named David Parker, Rockwall, Texas, immediately he stood up with me and sent a letter of notice of intent to sue to my former in-laws, attorney Norman Brownstein, who's part of this bank bailout scamster. It's on my website. And immediately Will Northrup at the Israeli Mossad shows up with supposedly information because he was representing Bill White of Texas. Bill's a friend of mine. He also got anthraxed. His wife got all anthraxed in 1995. And in 1995, they tried to kill my attorney, David Parker, Rockwall, Texas, by inducing him with a drug to cause him a heart attack, which caused a triple bypass surgery. Since then, I've had another attorney, Michael Stuff in Las Vegas, Nevada, who went after Ted Gunderson, was going to get me a grand jury, and he said he could do it. I went to raise money, trying to raise $25,000, because he said that's what he wanted for his protection. He ends up suddenly with all the symptoms of multiple sclerosis. Now, Michael Stuff is quite famous. He was tied to Jerry Spence. They're all written about in a book where they represented, and that's how they became famous, because of their representation of a NS or a CIA operative, getting him off the false charges they were bringing. That's the second one. A third one, right here in Kansas City, Jeff Burmeister was threatened recently because and I have another witness, an attorney, who was sitting inside the office who witnessed it, a disbarred attorney, Brett Landreth, and others, and I have a recorded conversation that where, you know, he denies now that he was even threatened, but he was threatened by the FBI right here in Kansas City. So this is how bad it is out here. It's constant threats, and if it isn't threat, it's intimidation or kill you. A, B, and C. Package A, package B, or package C.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it's all about, Chris. I'm fed up with it. It's time the American people rise up, and it's time the American people do something against this Bush crowd, this Bush organized crime syndicate. They have caused treason and sedition. They are killing people by the masses. People talk about chemtrails. It's bad enough. But these hidden biologicals and the other stuff that I've been aware of all these years and couldn't do anything about it, this stuff's still spreading. It's still killing people in the masses. These are most of the diseases that people have today that they don't have sexually transmitted diseases. They don't even know what the cures are for them, some of these things. This is all spun off from these original biological chemical agents. They contaminated the Colorado River. Go back to 1997 in a series of stories in the Colorado Daily by Ron Baird. I gave him the stories after they had anthraxed me and tried to shut me down over this. He won a national award for it, a series of seven stories talking about fruit of Colorado and then making the biologicals at the Sam Gary refinery. I haven't heard from Baird within 6 weeks after he wrote those stories. He was fired from his newspaper for winning a national award and reporting on it, and then never heard from him again. Nobody saw him anymore. I figured they probably killed him. I've never heard. So hopefully maybe he'll reach out to me if he hears that I'm on here. They know he's still alive. I've seen too many people die. And then in 1995, they begin, or 1996, they begin reporting about red tide in the water system in Las Vegas, Nevada, at Lake Mead, that it was a deformed fish from upstream. They tried to blame that on chemical plants and mining upstream. It wasn't. It was the Sam Gary refinery at Fruita, Colorado, which was making the anthrax, the portion of the anthrax, which still goes on today, because I had to talk with a Rocky Mountain News reporter who said, Stu, you're absolutely correct, and this was in the early 2000 time frame. And as he said, they have a plant now. He says, because I've investigated, I'll give you something. He says, right by the air base in Aurora, Colorado, he says, right next door, they got an underground bunker on private property, and they're hauling the stuff down from the mountains, and you're correct, it's coming out of Fruita, Colorado. Still goes on today. Now, they've contaminated the waterway, and they wrote about this in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Because I talked to the reporter who first busted the first story, and he took my information and went further and dug into it, and they put a halt to him. But he got a few more stories out. They have been, and you go back to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and you can see that they have been ozonating the water and ran ozonating equipment underground into Lake Mead to ozonate the water in order to get the red tide out of the water. Now, also back in the early 2000 time frame, this was after they contaminated the Boca Raton, the international waterway down there, the intercoastal waterway, they call it there in the Boca Raton area, was all contaminated up with red tide. And it was from these chemicals that they were mixing up. They called it cherry juice, and they did it, you know, and they contaminated. It was reported that there was red tide up the Atlantic coast line outside of Florida for quite a period of time. Whether it still goes on or still going on now, I'm not sure. But all these things have affected people and have killed a lot of people. And, you know, well, their favorite thing is if they can't get you in a car wreck, go biochemical, or put something on your door handle and kill you that way. Well, you know, Chris, I'm a survivor. I've survived along with 28 other people, all got hit with anthrax during this period of time. And I was one of 14 to survive. Two more have died from cancer that I'm aware of. Darlene Nobinger, I've got a tape of her I recently released, put it up on my website on, you know, stuweb.com, breaking news. And, you know, her house had to be torn down because it was a biological chemical dump in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the state of Pennsylvania actually took it down. She was an FBI operative doing what? She was working on behalf of the government, trying to bust Jeb Bush, Ollie North, and Daddy Bush, who was then Vice President of the United States, and his illegal drug trades with the Smap Brothers, including the fact that they were delivering pure 99% cocaine to the Vice President so he could snort his cocaine, Mr. George Herbert Walker Bush. And they killed her. They killed her father. They killed her mother. It's a very serious matter. So people need to know about these biological chemical agents. They need to know about this crime syndicate. They need to know that Obama's part of the problem and cover-up, and he's CIA, and he worked for Daddy Bush when he was president of the United States and covert black ops operations, Mr. Obama, and also Mitt Romney. We got to talk about that slime ball because he's part of the problem, and he has been with Bain Capital. He's a thief. He's a con artist. He's a Bush stooge, and he's stolen money from the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church. They're tithing, stole it, and him and Hillary Clinton and laundered to the Cayman Isles. There's all kinds of information out there on the internet about him.
We're going to talk about that on another show. I want to try to keep it in continuity. I know the next tape that you have to play, I'm sure, is going to be very eye-opening as well.
I have many tapes that I've recently, reacquired my discs that these tapes were on.
Okay, well, they will
and,
be put on
they
the
are
air.
Now going to be released, yes.
Oh, very good. And we will be announcing when that will be. I want to end this show now. We want to keep the show within a certain time limit so people can digest the information that Stu has brought to the attention of the American people tonight. Stu, I want to thank you very much for coming on here at the risk of your own life as a federal whistleblower to try to help the United States of America against this inside problem that we have here, this attempted takeover of our freedoms in the United States of America. And thanks for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks for having me.
Max, I'll speak to you soon.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it from Stu Webb, federal whistleblower, and we want to thank you for tuning in to this show. And there will be more shows with Stu Webb and these tapes never played before, exposing crime and corruption. This is Freedom Fighters for America World Radio at www.freedomfightersforamerica.com. It is April 12, 2012. Thanks for listening in. Take Back America, sir, sponsored by Freedom Fighters for America World Radio and Freedom Fighters for America at www.freedomfightersforamerica.com. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast.